Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, my friends. Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answer, sitting in for Cy Kellett, or St. Cyril of Oceanside, as we call him here. Cy is on his way right now to Birmingham for the giant EWTN radio conference. And so Darren Delosier, who is the producer of Catholic Answers Live, was in a panic because he realized that every possible guest host that he could pick to host the show was on his or her way to Birmingham. So he came to me and says, oh my gosh, you are the host of Last Resort. So Chris Check, president of Catholic Answer, sitting in for Cy Kellett. Coming up on in our second hour, our own staff apologist, Trent Horn, who's going to be talking about his brand new book from Ignatius Press, The Case for Catholicism, which gives responses to the traditional Protestant objections to the Catholic faith. And I would say of Trent's book, it is the most comprehensive, for a popular audience, most comprehensive book of its kind since Carl Keating's Catholicism and Fundamentalism. So you'll definitely want to stay in for our second hour. And of course, you want to stay in also for our first hour, because we're very happy to welcome back to the Catholic Answers Live microphone our former chaplain and forever dear friend, Father Vincent Serpa. How are you, Father?
Fine.
That's it? Just fine.
Fine and dandy.
Okay, very good. Well, so you expanded on that. So Father Serpa was chaplain here at Catholic Answers for 17 years, Father, was it?
Mm-hmm.
And a priest for how long, Father?
49. It'll be 50
I was going to say 50.
June.
I was 50 was on the tip of my tongue.
Close.
All right, very good. Well, you're going to make it. We're praying for you. And now back up in the Bay Area. Exactly where are you, Father, in the Bay Area?
In a little town called Benicia. It was the capital of the state at one time, and it's in the Sacramento Diocese.
Oh, closer to Sacramento, right?
No, actually, it's very end of it. It's actually a Bay Area town. It's still in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Our topic for this hour with Father Serpa is the spiritual life, or as you sometimes hear it described, the interior life. And if you want to get, the phones are filling up, if you want to ask Father Serpa a question about your spiritual life or about the spiritual life generally, the phone number is 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884, or 888-31-TRUTH, right? 888-31-TRUTH. Also, you can watch Catholic Answers Live on our Facebook page, the Catholic Answers Facebook page, and you can watch us on our YouTube channel and on Periscope as well, and feel free to send in your questions through those medium. And then, of course, on the Catholic Answers Live app. So, Father, the spiritual life, this is such a broad category. Maybe I don't even need to ask this question, but there may be somebody listening. What is the spiritual life? What is the interior life? Why is this even important to me? Why do I care about this?
It's a very Catholic thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Catholics tend to talk about these things more than other Christians, at least other Western Christians. Spiritual life has to do with what goes on between us and the Lord. And our Lord was broke away from the custom of looking in terms of religion at externals. And we don't in any way disparage looking at externals or being concerned about them, but the
sacraments are external signs.
Absolutely, but their meaning comes from inside, and right. What happens is inside. And to grow in our relationship with the Lord, we have to go inside. Our culture is a culture that doesn't go inside. Because going inside, you have to deal with yourself.
And the interior life, or particularly for laymen, I think finds its expression perhaps with the Jesuits in the 16th century, but even later in the 17th century. So all of it goes back to our Lord and his relationship with the apostles. But it finds its expression originally in the history of the church in the monastic movement, which begins, of course, in the East, in Egypt in particular, then with the Benedictines, of course, and then your order, Father the Dominicans. But it is in the 17th century especially, there's the Jesuit tradition, but also the French tradition, the 17th century especially, men like Francis de Sales, especially, I think, all the way to Louis de Montfort, who give expression to this idea that the interior life is something not simply reserved for the monastics, right, for the clergy or the monastics, but for all Catholics. Is that a good summary, Father?
Well, certainly, but it goes back to our Lord himself. I mean, our Lord was concerned about what people's intentions were, you know, lusting for someone in one's heart, regardless of what one does on the outside. One can already sin by intention. But also, if our intention is to the good, then even though it may not be apparent on the outside, we may be becoming very close to God by our interior disposition, our desire for him and our willingness to acquiesce to him.
Intention is everything is a phrase or a sentence that Catholics console themselves with a great deal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is.
All right, Father. So questions about your relationship with God, suffering, my prayer life, what's the right devotion for me? What are the right norms of piety for me, for example? Perhaps you're having difficulty in a relationship and you're taking that to your spiritual life. Perhaps you're having difficulty forgiving someone. Perhaps you pray and you don't feel anything, right? How do you begin? I've never had an interior life. I've never had spiritual direction. How do I get started? What should I read? So anyway, if you have questions like this, feel free to call 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. Let's go to Joshua in Clarksville, Tennessee, watching on the Catholic Answers YouTube channel. Joshua, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, thanks for answering my call.
Oh, we're glad to have you, Joshua. Where is Clarksville?
In Tennessee, about an hour from Nashville.
All right, praise God. Good, good, good. Country music capital of the world. What's your question for Father Serpa?
Well, I'm a very new Catholic, partly thanks to Catholic Answers. I just went to my first Mass this
praise God.
Sunday, and I started RCA, so I couldn't find the answer to this question anywhere, but are we encouraged to pray or to ask intercession for the blessed, and not just the saints, or really anyone in heaven, and if it would have the same impact?
And what does the church have to say about this? So, Father, can I pray to a saint or someone who's a blessed, who's just been beatified, has not been fully canonized, or even a venerable, perhaps? Or help Joshua with this.
Certainly. In fact, one of the ways a blessed is becomes canonized is because people have been praying to that blessed, and perhaps the Lord chooses to work a miracle through the intercession of that particular blessed, and it goes to having him considered for canonization, and it's, you know, there's certainly a requirement for miracles. And so, yes, you can certainly encourage to pray to people who are considered blessed by the church. But even people who are not, if they're known for their holiness, you can ask them. Well, all we're doing is asking them to pray for us. You can ask anybody to pray for you. So it's not by doing that, you're not necessarily saying that they are saints yet. But you're enlisting their aid, and that's perfectly all right.
Joshua, is there a particular blessed that you have a devotion to, that you pray to?
Yeah, Duns Scotus.
Oh, is he a blessed, Father?
I believe so.
Okay, yeah. I can tell you, Joshua.
I'm one of your favorites, obviously.
We'll talk about that at the commercial. I can tell you, Joshua, that there was a blessed Anacleto Gonzalez Flores. He's one of the heroes of the Cristero War in Mexico in 1929, to whom I have a devotion and my boys do. And, of course, he was just canonized last year by Pope Francis. So, yes, keep praying to those blesseds. And as Father says, get them on the path to canonization. And We're asking everyone, Tim Staples, of course, some of you have heard, our listeners, our regular listeners have heard that he's experienced some health problems with some aneurysms, and he is asking for prayers to Fulton Sheen, to Blessed Fulton Sheen for his canonization, Tim's complete healing. So absolutely do pray to Blessed. My friends, the topic today is the interior life, the spiritual life. Our guest is Father Vincent Serpa. The phone number is 888-318-7884. We're going to go to a break and we'll be right back with your calls.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Hi, this is Cy Kellett from Catholic Answers Live. It's October, and as we head down the stretch toward the end of the year, Catholic Answers is kicking off the annual winter sale in their online shop with great discounts on all of the books, DVDs, CDs, ebooks, and MP3s we carry. With great new releases on church history, scripture, Bible prophecy, and the saints, the shop at Catholic.com is once again your go-to place for solid Catholic resources with a store-wide discount in addition. Just enter the promo code WINTER at checkout in our newly redesigned shop and you'll save 20% off your total purchase. That's right, 20% off hundreds of great Catholic books, DVDs, CDs, ebooks, and MP3s from now until the end of the year. That's shop.catholic.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Luke 14:25, when Jesus says, "If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." He's not actually telling us to hate. He is emphasizing that his disciples must absolutely prefer him to everyone and to everything. Many have just passed over these words. Then they become irate when the church doesn't give way to their desire to live without moral restrictions. For example, to be his disciple means living as a celibate if one is not married. To knowingly live otherwise is to put ourselves first, not him. But he can't reasonably expect such deprivation, some would say. But we can't have it both ways. We can't accept his sacrificial love and not offer our own in response. He has shown us that sacrifice, not indulgence, is the measure of love. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, my friends. Sitting in for Cy Kellett, Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answers. The radio program is Catholic Answers Live. The telephone number is 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. My guest today is our former chaplain and dear friend, Father Vincent Serpa. We are talking about the spiritual life, the interior life. Father Serpa, I have to correct myself. I said Blessed Fulton Sheen. It's Venerable Fulton Sheen. And yes, Blessed Dun Scotus is, in fact, Blessed. But they don't pay me here to know those things, Father, just to run the place. So
I understand.
I'm begging off on those details. Very good. Let's go. You ready to go straight to calls, Father?
I guess I am.
All right. Those phones are filling up. Let's go to Matthew in Illinois. Welcome to the program, Matthew.
Hi. How you doing?
We're doing well. What part of Illinois are you in?
Oh, small town. Gillespie. There's like nothing here.
Well, it's somewhere. What is it? Is it in central Illinois?
It's in between St. Louis and Springfield.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Tornado country.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What's your question for Father Serpa?
What made you decide to go the way of God? Was there an epiphany, or was you brought up that way, or how did that become a major part of your life, obviously?
Well, I was brought up with it. I mean, you know, and my vocation came very, very early, at least the beginnings of it. But many people are not. Some people have are converted late in life, you know, sometimes even in their 80s. There isn't any one way. Why do you ask?
I haven't had anything happen to me to make me want to believe. To be quite honest with you, I live close to a Catholic church, and they sneer at me. And I think, wow, you know, they're supposed to be really nice people, and they're not.
Well, why would they? Do they know you're not Catholic? Why do they sneer at you?
I have no clue. I would assume they know I'm not Catholic because I live in a small town and I do not go to that church. So I'm just assuming that.
So Matthew, when you say sneer at you, they're unkind to you. They don't talk to you. First of all, apologies on behalf of your parishioners. Catholics, of course, should welcome everyone with open arms because we want to bring everyone to the fullness of the truth. But as Father Serpa says, what is it that you're looking for? What is the thing that you expect to happen that's going to put you? Are you seeking? Are you seeking?
I don't know. I really don't know. It just seems like I've had one downfall after the other after the other. And if there was some higher power that cared about me, he would think that they would interfere some way.
So, Father, Matthew, you've experienced some suffering. Father, can you help Matthew make sense of suffering?
Well, first of all, do you ever think in terms of why you exist? I mean, do you ever ask yourself why not nothing? You know, why am I here? I'm. This is about the most basic thing you can think about in with regard to yourself, that you're here. You know, does it ever dawn on you that might be there's?
Here for now, but that time is limited. And what after? Yeah. And you know, when we're dead, we're just dead, and there's nothing, and that's it, and nobody knows. That kind of freaks me out.
But I think Matthew, Father Serpa is asking you what caused you? Why do you exist at all? If you're going to disappear into nothingness after you're dead, then why do you exist at all? I mean, is that a question that occurs to you?
Yeah, because so far life has been pointless.
Maybe it feels pointless, but there have been a lot of points to it. I mean, there have certainly been times when you've been happy about something, things you like that are appealing to you, things of beauty. You certainly know something like that, haven't you?
Sure, of course. Like, I play music. I love music. Okay. You know, and I do think it's a thing of beauty. And I'm not talking heavy metal and all that stuff. I play everything. And you know, there's got to be something higher to that, I would hope.
Sure. Well, the fact that it's... Go ahead.
I don't know. Maybe I don't know what I'm asking. I'm sorry to waste your time.
No, you're not wasting our time at all, Matthew.
You're asking good questions.
Yeah, and the fact that you called the show is an indication, whether you recognize it or not, and you certainly do subconsciously, is that you are looking. You're looking for an answer. Fulton Sheen, about whom we were speaking just a minute ago, Venerable Fulton Sheen, gives this expression that we all have a God-shaped hole inside of our hearts. And so the only thing, you know, like those toys that children play with, it's a metaphor that goes as far as it does. But, you know, the triangle fits in the triangle, the square fits in the square. The hole in our hearts is shaped like God, and that's the only thing that's going to fill it. Now, that's easy for me to say as a Christian, for Father Serpa to say. Both of us were raised in the Catholic tradition, in the Catholic faith. But you are looking because you're seeking your Creator. You want to know where you're from, and you're seeking Him. Does that make sense?
You know. Not necessarily. Well, yeah, of course, I do want to know where I'm from and why we are here. And nothing after death, I'm going to be upset.
Well, it appears to me that you've come to the conclusion that you are not enough for yourself, that you can't make yourself live forever. You are limited, and you want You want some extension. You want to be more than just what you are, right?
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. I want to better myself a thousandfold.
Okay. So when you consider all that exists and how complicated it all is, I mean, if you were walking down the street and saw this old clunker parked at the side of the street and, you know, it doesn't even work anymore. And but when you consider even an old clunker like that, could that thing possibly have come together by chance? You know, the wires become wires, and the whole system, all the systems in the car, the rubber, certainly the whole thing couldn't have come together by accident. You know, there was some kind of a design, some kind of process by which it resulted in an automobile, right?
Right.
Well, that's true even more so of the whole world, and certainly of us. You know, we couldn't have come about by just happenstance. There's design there. Detectives are looking for they're at the site of a crime and they're looking for evidence of something happening. They look around to make sure that they don't miss anything. We don't have to do that. There's evidence all over the place that there's some design here. And if there is, the designer had to be more sophisticated than the design, or the design could now have happened. So when you consider the things that human beings can do and the virtue that human beings can have, you know, certainly there are a lot of people who are not virtuous, but there are some that are. And they're we look up to them because they're so exalted in the choices that they've made and the integrity that they have. There's some goodness there, extraordinary goodness. Again, that would be the result of whoever designed them. Had to have more. You know, you can't give what you don't have. You know, so if you begin to become sensitive to the goodness of creation around you and the complexity of it, and especially in the good that you've seen in people that you love, then it's not a huge leap to recognize that there has to be some intelligence to have made this all happen. Right?
Everything. Absolutely everything.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know for sure. And I honestly believe that no one will until they're gone.
Well, as a matter of fact, we believe that this being has made himself known, and has shown us how little we are capable of fully understanding him. This I think you need to work on and think about. I mean, the 2,000 years of Christianity didn't just happen, you know. There are an awful lot of people who've recognized, have gone with this and recognized that it's true. And you're calling us today because just maybe we're onto something, right?
I'm just calling through dumb luck, to be honest.
Well,
or maybe not. Maybe it's fate.
We call that providence, Matthew.
Yes,
I see.
Matthew, I would recommend to you if you were to go to Catholic.com, which is our website, to the shop site there, or shop.catholic.com. There's an excellent book there by one of our staff apologists. His name is Trent Horn. In fact, tune in for the second hour and you'll be able to hear him. He has an excellent book called Answering Atheism. And a lot of those objections that you're trying to work through right now, he walks his way through, not so much in a theological way, but in a philosophical way. And that'd be the first thing that I would recommend to you. And then the second thing that I would recommend to you is go knock on the door of that Catholic church, or the rectory, that is, and then ask to make an appointment with that priest. And we've got to go to the heartbreak here, but say, I want to sit down. I've got these doubts. I've got these questions. I've got these concerns. And help me work through them. All right, Matthew, we'll send you a free copy if you give your address to the call screener. Okay, Matthew?
you'll send me a free copy of the book.
I will indeed. Give your address to the call screener. All right, my friends, we will be back after the break. You're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
The EWTN home video highlight for November is A Wolf in Sheep's Clothing and EWTN Live. Behind the influence of Saul Alinsky on today's politically powerful lurks a deadly agenda that threatens the very core beliefs of the Church. Order your DVD set, including the EWTN Live show with the producers at EWTNRC.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
Just like the saints of the Counter-Reformation, our own souls are in constant need of reform, of reconversion to God and His will for us. We struggle with sin. We become distracted in prayer. We find it hard to be loving and easy to be selfish. In Reform Yourself, Sean McAfee shows you how these magnificent saints can be guides to your own personal transformation. We all need to reform our souls. Let the saints who reformed the church show you how. Order your copy of Reform Yourself today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did the Catholic Church add books to the Bible, or did Protestants remove 7 books from the Old Testament? In Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger, author Gary Machuda takes you on a fact-filled tour through the history of the Bible, revealing the whole story behind the lost books of the Protestant Old Testament. With the latest information, discourse on crucial issues, and a topical index, Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger is a book that belongs in the library of every serious student of Scripture. Order your copy of Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back, my friends. Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answers, sitting in for Cy Kellett. Cy is on his way to Birmingham, Alabama, for the big EWTN radio conference. Catholic Answers Live will be broadcasting tomorrow and Friday from Birmingham, Alabama, at the big EWTN radio conference, our dear friends there at EWTN. And so he was on an airplane today, and so was every other possible suitable host. And so Darren DeLosier, our intrepid producer, came to me and said, would you host the show? I've already made several mistakes, but that's okay. I'm having a good time. Father Serpa, our guest, Father Vincent Serpa, OP, right? Order of Preachers, great Dominican priest, was our chaplain here for 17 years, will be a priest of God 50 years next June. And our topic today is the spiritual life, the interior life. Father, we have folks on the phone. I want to go straight to calls, but I just want to say I want all of our listeners to pray for Matthew, who called in the just before we went to the break there. Here's a man who's clearly seeking, and there was something else that I recognized about him, Father, and that was that there was a clear docility in the man. And docility is one of these things that we tend to think of as kind of a weakness, or but actually docility is the capacity to be taught. And that's necessary for the spiritual life, isn't it, Father?
Yes, yes, indeed. Yeah. And he did seem rather open. It was nice to see that.
Yeah, so let's all pray. Let's all pray for Matthew in Illinois. Let's go to Dan in Las Vegas, listening to Relevant Radio. Dan, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
My heart goes out to the fellow that just called, Matthew. I know one thing, just real quickly, that God's looking for, and he's looking for faith. And I know if you pray to God in faith, he will answer you. That's my personal testimony.
Very good.
And in regards to the subject of faith, I listen to your radio a lot, and it helps me to learn more about Catholic faith. And to make sure I understand, this is kind of a double question, so bear with me here for just a second. Make sure I get the question. I want to make sure I understand the doctrine. If I understand the doctrine right, when an infant is baptized, by the parents in the Catholic, if they're Catholic, and they have their baby baptized. And let's say the child gets sick and he passes away early in life. The child is saved?
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay. So being baptized as an infant is a complete form of salvation.
Father, you want to give a little primer on baptism here?
Well, yeah. We wouldn't exactly say it that way. The child becomes a part of Christ. He receives sanctifying grace, and he is able to spiritually reach levels he couldn't have reached otherwise without it. He becomes a part of the mystical body of Christ. He is the very act of baptism symbolically. He's covered with water, and if he stayed underwater, he would die. And that imitates Christ and reminds us of Christ's willingness to die. And then he rose, and it's through his death that we have life. And the effects of original sin are minimized as a result of the baptism. We are friends with God, and we are able to receive His grace, His sanctifying grace, and it's a new creation. We're a new creation. We're born again in a very real sense. Spiritually, we're born. But this does not mean by that fact that we definitely will go to heaven, because we can do things that are contrary to God. We can turn our back on God, and so we can lose that we, our fidelity to the Lord is an ongoing thing. So this is the beginning, but just the beginning. And it's a good beginning. It's a wonderful thing. And
it's a necessary beginning.
Yeah. Yes.
Does that help, Dan, clarify baptism for you?
Yeah. Well, sort of. What I was trying to establish, I know that as you go down the road, you know, in life, you know, you have to, you know, Paul said, I die daily. The point I was trying to establish was in my beginning question, when I said, I'll say it again, when a child and an infant is baptized, and let's say they die the next day and they're still an infant, they are saved.
Absolutely.
And you said, okay, let's just, using that as a precedent, let me create another scene, another scenario. Let's take a fellow, let's say he's a college person. Let's say he's from Japan and he's a Shinto and he comes to America. And he is a very good person, let's say. Let's say he honors his parents, and he is, in as far as his life is concerned, let's just say it's spotless. And let's say he comes to America, and he meets a nice Catholic girl, and they fall in love, and he asks for marriage, and she says, I can't marry you unless you become a Catholic. And so he says, well, what do I got to do to be a Catholic? And so she says, well, we need to go to church. And so he goes, and he goes and talks to the priest, and they go through the baptism and the taking of the Eucharist and the, what's the other one?
Confirmation.
Let's say he answers the question. He gives all the right answers to the priest, and he goes through all the procedure that they ask him to do. But let's say in his heart he doesn't believe it. Is that person going to be saved?
Well, if he's lying, if he's deceiving, if he's doing this just – first of all, I mean, just I want to go back a little bit. It's not necessary for him to become a Catholic in order to marry the Catholic. I don't know if you know that or not, but we don't require people to become Catholics in order to marry a Catholic. We do ask that the Catholic be allowed to bring the child up in the faith. But this doesn't mean that they can't be married. But your question has to do more with, if one receives a sacrament, in a dishonest way is one really receiving the sacrament. Now, for a child, the child is open to whatever the Lord, you know, whatever is done for the child. An adult can certainly resist grace. And so it's a different situation between an adult and a child in terms of, well, receiving Holy Communion, going to confession and all the rest. But in terms of being baptized, in terms of receiving the sacrament, if an adult seeks to receive the sacrament of baptism, it is expected that the adult is being honest and wants it.
Well, and similarly with the sacrament of marriage, if one of the couples is lying about perhaps an existing condition or their intention not to have children or something of that nature, then that can potentially invalidate the sacrament. Dan, your question is really more of a sacramental or even apologetic nature, and I would encourage you to call our apologist line here at Catholic Answers or call back on a day when we're doing open forum. The topic for this hour is the interior life or the spiritual life, but we're very glad that you are listening to Catholic Answers Live, and we hope that you continue to, and I hope Father Serpa got you on the way to an answer for your question, but you're welcome to call here to the building anytime, speak to one of our apologists in a little more detail, all right? Let's go to Elizabeth in Columbus, Nebraska, listening on 102.7 FM. Elizabeth, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
We're glad to have you, Elizabeth.
Sure. I just have a quick question. I'm born Catholic, raised Catholic. I go to church every Sunday, raise my children in the Catholic faith. But I just feel like something's kind of missing. I feel like my prayer life isn't as strong. And I just feel like I have, I just want to know more. And I was just wondering if you had any books that you would recommend me reading just to strengthen my prayer life or anything that you would recommend me reading to just help.
How old are you, Elizabeth?
I'm 29.
Okay.
Did she have a particular book that you thought?
She sounded very, very youthful to me, Father.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, there's certainly a book that I like very much. I mean, there are many, many books, but there's one that I like that's called Beginning to Pray, and it's by Metropolitan Anthony. Metropolitan is another name for Archbishop. And this is actually it's written by a Russian Orthodox Archbishop, but it's very Orthodox in terms of what we believe as Catholics as well. And it's very well written, easy to read, and can help you to pray. And everybody can, you know, use some help in that. And it sounds like that's what you're asking,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
so I would
correct.
That's one I would suggest, and then you can get that through any of the booksellers online or in stores and so on.
Elizabeth, do you make a practice of once a week spending, you know, 30 minutes with our Lord in front of the Blessed Sacrament?
Not really. I go to church every Sunday and I try to do that. And then I'm on the road a lot with my job. So I've been starting to try to pray the rosary more frequently. And I just feel like there's kind of a disconnect when I'm just, I feel like I just go through the motions or just go through the prayers and not really connect, if that makes sense.
Yeah, Father, what do you say to someone who, you know, I pray but I'm not feeling anything or I feel dry? How do you respond to that?
Of course, the value of the prayer doesn't come from how good you feel. Sometimes the days when we pray, even though we don't feel much like it, prayer is more valuable at that point because we're doing it just out of faith and a desire to please the Lord, which is very pleasing to Him. But the thing that I zero in on all the time because it's so basic and so real is to reflect on His passion, reflect on what the Lord was willing to endure for us, because He loves us, and that's the reason. You know, if we want to know how much we matter to Him, just look at what He's willing to suffer for us. And yet, whatever we come up with is going to be inadequate compared to the reality, because his love for us is beyond our ability to fully fathom. He is God. He's so much greater than we are. But this is a good beginning, and it's as close to you as a crucifix, you know. Just look at it and start reflecting on what he was willing to go through, and that if you were the only person in the world, he would have done it just for you. I mean, his love for us is that personal. So I would encourage you to do that. I mean, that the very fact that you believe that he is God, that he was willing to die for us, build on that, reflect on that. You know, this is the little spark, the little flame that you have. Just kind of, you know, give it some oxygen and let it grow.
Yeah, meditating on the passion is very much a part of Father Serpa's spirituality. When we were blessed to have him here in the building with Daily Mass, almost every one of his sermons would come back to this awareness of our Lord dying this death for us. And there's not too many times that we can hear it. We're going to go to a break. Elizabeth, let me recommend a book to you as well. And it's one that we carry in the store. I think Ignatius Press publishes it. It's called Into Your Hands, and the author is Wilfred Stinnesson. And it's a slim little volume, and it's about surrendering to divine providence. And it's divided into neat little bite-sized chunks, and it's the kind of thing that you can take in front of the Blessed Sacrament, even for 15 minutes. And that, I think, will also, in addition to the book that Father Serpa recommended for you, will start you into a deeper journey with our Lord. My friends, the show is Catholic Answers Live. The phone number is 888-318-7884. The topic for this hour is the spiritual life, the interior life. My guest is Father Vincent Serpa, and we're going to go to a break.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
I fell away from the practice of my Catholic faith in my college years. But after I got married and we were expecting our first child, I had an enormous tug to come back to my roots. I went to an incredible Catholic store in my town and was blown away by the kindness and knowledge of the staff. They not only recommended books for me and my bride, but they promised me prayer support for my journey back to the faith. Wow, what an incredible Catholic store. I have to credit them for helping me on my journey home to the Catholic Church. Now they consider me part of their family, and I have shared with them my oldest son's desire to become a Catholic priest someday. An incredible Catholic store in your area can be found at incrediblecatholicstore.com. That's incrediblecatholicstore.com. The Incredible Catholic Store, transforming the world one soul at a time.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Did the Catholic Church add books to the Bible, or did Protestants remove seven books from the Old Testament? In Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger, author Gary Machuda takes you on a fact-filled tour through the history of the Bible, revealing the whole story behind the lost books of the Protestant Old Testament. With the latest information, discourse on crucial issues, and a topical index, Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger is a book that belongs in the library of every serious student of Scripture. Order your copy of Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Just like the saints of the Counter-Reformation, our own souls are in constant need of reform, of reconversion to God and His will for us. We struggle with sin. We become distracted in prayer. We find it hard to be loving and easy to be selfish. In Reform Yourself, Sean McAfee shows you how these magnificent saints can be guides to your own personal transformation. We all need to reform our souls. Let the saints who reformed the church show you how. Order your copy of Reform Yourself today by calling 1-888-291-8000. visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, my friends. Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answers, sitting in for Cy Kellett, who's on his way to Birmingham, Alabama, for the EWTN conference. My guests for this first hour, Father Vincent Serpa, OP, Order of Preachers, or Dominicans. And in fact, we're going to go, we have a Dominican-related question, Father. Mike in Folsom, California, listening on Relevant Radio. Mike, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, and thanks to Father Serpa for the gift of his time today on this sure. radio show.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Here's my question, Father Serpa. I've been circling around the Third Order Dominicans. I'm just a lay Catholic, and I understand there's lessons, and I've been on the website, and I know there's readings, and there's a prescribed process. But what I haven't found out yet is, at each chapter or area, who's in charge of making sure that process has been followed? I haven't seen anything on that. I know that you have a formation director at each one, but I've been to a couple of meetings, and they're kind of informal with respect to that. So I want to make sure I'm following a process, and then if I have to be documented, that I followed that process or read that lesson, et cetera. Can you help me out
sure.
with that?
And where is it that you live?
I live in Folsom, near Sacramento.
Oh, near. Okay, fine. Yeah, there's a chapter in Sacramento. Well, each chapter has a prior or prioress or a moderator, and then each chapter also has a religious assistant, which is in here in the West. It's a friar, and because the laity are directly under the friars, the only superior they really have is the master of the order, and look more closely, more locally, the provincial of the province in which the person lives. There are many checks and balances. There's a council meeting every year where all the chapters send representatives and discuss matters. But there are also visitations in which the chapters are visited by people representing the whole province to make sure that things are on the up and up and that they're doing things correctly. They're following the rule and so on. So it's not just that they're autonomous and just do whatever they want. Okay.
I understand. Okay.
Does that help, Mike?
Thank you.
Thank
you very much.
Okay, very good. Father, you might tell our listeners what is a Third Order Dominican? What is a tertiary?
Okay, a Third Order Dominican is a lay person who shares in the life of the life and spirituality of the Dominican Order, and this is true of other orders as well, in which there are local chapters in which a moderator or prior or prioress, our province is going back to the older terms, they're elected, and then there's a sub-prior or sub-prioress, and then there's a person in charge of formation and secretary and so on. And then they meet and they pray the office together. They're required to pray the at least morning prayer and evening prayer from the divine office and compline, night prayer, every day, and to attend Mass if at all possible. The prayer life is an essential element of it. There are four pillars to Dominican life. Prayer, both public and private, study, that's sort of our asceticism, community is absolutely necessary. That's why that people belong to a chapter, and then ministry by sharing their faith with others wherever they happen to be, whether it's at work or wherever. And they can do this together in a formal way, or they can share it just in an individual way. And it's, you know, it was founded by Saint Dominic and many years ago, and it's all over the world.
Including here at Catholic Answers.
That's right, yes. Chapter there. The largest group of Dominican laity that we have are Vietnamese, because the government there only allowed them to belong to a limited number of Catholic organizations, and so they had to choose, and they chose the Dominicans. So there are more Vietnamese Dominican lay Dominicans than any other from any other part of the world. Both in Vietnam and elsewhere, too. A lot of them here in California.
One of my favorite saints, Father, to whom I'm dearly devoted and has done many, many good things for me, was a Dominican tertiary, as I know you know, Catherine of Siena.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm.
Very good. All right, I think we're going to get
the church.
Amen. We're going to get a few more calls in. Rod here in beautiful San Diego, listening on Relevant Radio. Rod, welcome to the program. Oh, Rod, we lost you. All right, very good. Okay, then we are going to. I got to adjust my glasses. Herbert in Alhambra, California, listening on Relevant Radio. Herbert, welcome to the program. Hello.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Sure.
I'm a true Catholic, but I'm always finding mysteries and revolving God. And I'll tell you one of the mysteries. The mystery before creation. Before God created you and me, for example, before creation, mm-hmm. I mean, I know, you know, and you and I know that God knows everything. Mm-hmm. Now, if God knew, God knew that we were going to go to hell or heaven, why did he create, for example, a human being that he knows everything, that he knows he's going to go to hell? Do you understand my questions?
I understand. You just said it was a mystery, so I think you pretty much have that. Mysteries are mysteries. We know that God has known, you know, God existed for all eternity. He's never had a beginning. But we also know that we don't always know whether a person is going to go to hell, even if they, you know, we can't judge that because we don't know what's going on inside a person's soul. So, you know, what takes place in terms of who goes to heaven and who doesn't is a mystery to us, even for people that we do know.
The church makes distinctions between God's foreknowledge and his will. And again, your question is a little more of an apologetic one than one about the interior life, the spiritual life. Probably good to get and we're coming up at the end of the hour here. Probably to get a more complete answer, call in the second hour or call our apologist line here at Catholic Answers. Father, how do I get started in the spiritual life, in the interior life? I'm listening to this show. This is the first time I've ever heard these expressions. The topic interests me. I'm intrigued. What's the first thing I need to do?
Well, a lot of it depends on where you are in terms of the church, or if you're consider yourself a practicing Catholic, or if you're just kind of not sure about God, like the first person was. It depends. You start asking questions, and I would suggest that maybe you visit a Catholic church, and if you are a Catholic already, you know, look at our website. There are all kinds of resources there. But again, if you're not there yet, maybe just visiting talking to a Catholic priest and telling them where you are in terms of the questions that you have, and he can hopefully help you to begin.
If someone is looking for a good spiritual director, how does he or she begin that effort?
Well, the first thing I would suggest is that he or she look for a good confessor.
Yes.
They're easier to find.
Yeah.
And then maybe he'll be able to find somebody who can be a spiritual director. Can I give a blessing?
Go ahead, Father.
May the peace and blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Thank you, Father Vincent Serpa. Stay tuned for our second hour, Trent Horn, on the Case for Catholicism.